Imagine for a second that you are an architect, right? And you're designing this state-of-the-art digital hospital.
Okay, I can picture that.
You've poured millions into the foundation.
Yeah.
You know, you wired up the smartest diagnostic systems the world has ever seen. And you're finally ready to open the doors.
The big launch day.
Exactly. But on launch day, five different building inspectors show up from five different jurisdictions.
Oh, man.
Right. And they're holding completely contradictory blueprints, and they basically all start tearing down the walls.
Yeah, which is exactly the reality we are looking at today.
It really is. So welcome to the deep dive, everyone. It is May 9, 2026, and a massive collision just happened in the world of artificial intelligence and mental health.
A total pileup.
Yeah. So in San Francisco, you've got tech giants shipping these brand new AI safety features to millions of people. But meanwhile, literally this exact same week, lawmakers in five state capitals are simultaneously walling AI completely out of clinical practice.
And, you know, almost nobody noticed that these are actually the exact same story.
Right. They seem totally disconnected.
Yeah.
So today we are looking at a stack of fresh legislative updates and tech dispatches. Specifically, we've got the latest from the Transparency Coalition, plus a bunch of state legislative records.
Yeah, and the core of all this, the thing connecting it all, is the buzzword, human in the loop.
Yes, human in the loop. So our mission today is to decode that for you. We're going to contrast OpenAI's new safety model with the strict new clinician restrictions these states are passing.
Because it really maps out what the future looks like for founders, investors, or, well, really anyone curious about healthcare tech.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. I want to start right at the epicenter of this week's news to show why the definition of a clinician is suddenly like a multi-million dollar question.
Yeah, to see why that definition is fracturing everything, you have to look at the architecture of what OpenAI just shipped on May 7th.
Right, the trusted contact feature.
Exactly. They launched this feature in ChatGPT. It's rolling out globally to users who are 18 and older, 19 in South Korea, just because of their specific age of majority laws.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Yeah. And the mechanism basically allows a user to voluntarily nominate a friend, family member, or maybe a caregiver as their designated safety net.
Wait, so how does that actually work in practice? Do they just put in an email?
Basically, yeah. And then the contact has to explicitly accept that invitation within a week. So that sets up a really interesting technical flow under the hood.
Because the AI is, like, watching the conversation.
Right. ChatGPT's automated monitoring system is just running in the background, analyzing the conversation for specific risk markers.
Like self-harm, that kind of thing.
Exactly. If the system flags a serious risk of self-harm, it does not intervene directly with therapy.
Okay.
Instead, it routes that flag to a team of trained human reviewers who are actually employed by OpenAI.
Oh, so there's a human in the loop there.
There is, but those reviewers just perform the triage. If they confirm the risk is credible, the system fires off an alert to that nominated trusted contact via, like, an email, text, or in-app message.
Okay, but do they send the actual chat logs? Because that feels like a huge privacy thing.
No, and that's key. They do not get the chat transcripts. The conversation history remains entirely private.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they simply receive a notification that a serious safety concern was flagged. But if we look closely at this architecture, we have to ask a really tough question.
Which is?
Who is functioning as the clinician in this scenario?
Well, nobody is, right? I mean, the initial detection is just a machine learning model.
Exactly.
And the triage is handled by OpenAI's internal reviewers,
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, acting as trust and safety moderators. They aren't licensed therapists.
Right. They're not diagnosing anything.
And the final notification just goes to a roommate or an aunt. So there's no doctor here.
Precisely. The clinical relationship, if you can even say one exists, remains strictly between the user and ChatGPT.
That is wild.
The trusted contact is just a safety net, not a clinician. The architecture hasn't, like, relocated the clinical relationship to a human. It's just annotated it.
You know, it sounds like installing a security camera that texts your mom instead of calling the police. It's a notification, but it's not intervention.
That is the perfect way to visualize it, yeah. OpenAI has basically built a highly scalable notification layer on top of a consumer chatbot.
But that completely clashes with the laws happening this week. Right.
It's a total collision. Now, we have to contrast this immediately with what states like Vermont, Maine, and Colorado are passing right now.
Right.
They're passing laws stating that AI explicitly cannot deliver therapy, cannot pose as a licensed provider, and above all, that the human clinician must own the decision.
So I mean, human in the loop is doing way more work than it can actually carry at this point.
It really is.
Because it now points to two completely opposite architectures. You either have detection with notification, like OpenAI, or clinician-led care, like the states.
And because tech's definition is diverging so sharply from the legal reality, we really need to look at exactly how states are legally defining who has to be in that loop.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because they're all over the place. Like, take Vermont.
Oh, yeah. Vermont's H-816.
Yeah. They passed their Senate third reading at the literal legislative buzzer. And it strictly prohibits AI for mental health services without intervention from a licensed professional.
Right. So that's a very hard line.
Exactly. No licensed professional, no AI therapy. Period.
But then you compare Vermont's strictness with what Hawaii just did. Hawaii passed the Artificial Intelligence Disclosure and Safety Act, SB 3001 CD1.
Right. And they represent a totally different ceiling, don't they?
Completely different. It's basically a transparency in minors regime.
So they aren't banning it?
No. Operators just have to disclose when users are interacting with AI, you know, establish suicide risk protocols, and add parental controls.
So you just have to be honest that it's a bot?
Basically, yeah. It doesn't restrict AI from clinical practice the way Vermont does.
Okay, but then introduce Colorado, because they are the strictest of the bunch with HB 1195.
Oh, Colorado's going much further.
Yeah, they prohibit AI from directly interacting in therapeutic communication, and they ban it from generating unreviewed treatment plans.
Which is big, but there's a crucial part of that Colorado bill.
Right. It prohibits AI from detecting emotions or mental states. Wait. Colorado's making it illegal for AI to detect emotion.
Literally, yes.
Doesn't that immediately outlaw things like voice biomarker analysis and effective computing startups? Like, how does a company even build for that?
Well, what's fascinating here is how these states are racing to set the early mover language that other states will copy.
Because they want to be the standard.
Exactly. To understand why Colorado is taking such an extreme stance on emotion detection, we have to look at the underlying goal of all these bills.
Which is patient protection, right?
Patient protection, exactly. They want to protect patients from automated therapy because it's so unproven.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics of those legal protections. Because Colorado requires written informed consent before any AI system can even record or transcribe a session.
Yeah, just for transcription.
Right. And it mandates that any administrative AI support leaves the clinician with full responsibility.
So the doctor takes all the liability.
Exactly. But Vermont's enforcement mechanism is wild. Practicing without licensed human intervention is deemed unprofessional conduct for a regulated provider.
Which means they could lose their license.
Yeah. And it's a Consumer Protection Act violation for everyone else.
Meaning they'll sue the tech company.
Right. And then Hawaii has specific protections for minors. They have penalties under unfair and deceptive practices for failing to protect kids from manipulative engagement techniques.
And sexually explicit content, too.
Yeah.
But if you synthesize all these different approaches, there is a single unified architectural commitment the states are making. The clinician owns the clinical decision. If the AI is doing anything, literally anything, it is only what the clinician explicitly designates.
Which is a huge problem for tech founders. Because with multiple states passing completely different laws at the exact same time, the regulatory landscape isn't a static list anymore.
No, as our sources say, it is a live calendar.
Right. It feels like playing regulatory whack-a-mole. If you're a founder trying to launch an app next month, what do you actually do?
You have to master that legislative calendar playing out right now in May 2026.
Okay, map it out for us.
Well, Iowa signed in early May. Hawaii is waiting on Governor Josh Green. Connecticut is waiting on Governor Ned Lamont for SB 5.
Which is a massive omnibus bill, right?
Huge. And Vermont's public record is still catching up from Friday. Colorado is just 3 days from adjournment.
Wow, so this is all happening right now.
Right now. And California is heading into its notorious suspense file gauntlet.
Oh man, the suspense file. Wait, why is that so notorious?
Because it's basically a quiet, no debate process where bills go to die. They literally just clear out or kill hundreds of bills without public debate.
So it's just happening behind closed doors.
Exactly. So here are the practical steps extracted from the sources for founders navigating this mess.
Lay around.
Step one, decide which definition of safety you are building toward before you ship.
So notification versus clinician-led.
Yes. You can't just slap an AI together and decide later. Step two, build for the most restrictive jurisdiction, which is currently Colorado's ban on emotion detection.
Right. Or What, except that you must geofence those users out.
Exactly. You just block Colorado users entirely.
That's leaving so much money on the table.
It is, but the alternative is massive liability. Step 3. If you're touching Connecticut users at scale, you have to bake in provenance metadata for AI-generated media by default.
Wait, if I'm building a text-based therapy bot, why do I care about media metadata?
Well, because the industry is moving toward multimodal interfaces.
Well, like synthetic voices.
Yeah, right. Voices. Avatars. And the state realizes a synthetic voice delivering therapy is far more persuasive than text. So you need an audit trail proving it's AI.
That makes a lot of sense.
And step 4, watch the California suspense file closely.
Because what survives that dictates the compliance landscape for the next session.
Exactly. As California goes, so goes the tech industry.
Okay, so building for the strictest jurisdiction isn't just a legal headache for founders. I mean, it fundamentally alters the math for venture capital.
Oh, totally. If we connect this to the bigger picture, investors must stop throwing money at the phrase human in the loop.
Right, because it means nothing now.
They need to start demanding to know exactly which human is in the loop and what they legally own, because the cost discrepancy is huge.
Oh, for sure. The OpenAI Crisis Detection Plus notification model is the absolute cheapest version of human in the loop a company can build and operate.
Right, mostly automated.
Exactly. Conversely, building clinician-owned care, where AI only does designated admin tasks, is vastly more expensive.
Because you're paying licensed doctors for every decision.
Right. So how does this impact valuations?
Well, the varying state restrictions basically chop up the addressable market. Disclosure plus suicide protocol, like Hawaii, is becoming the absolute floor.
Just the bare minimum to operate.
Yes. And the differentiator above that floor is clinical restriction, like Vermont and Colorado.
So these two different models, the cheap notification versus the expensive clinical care, they will absolutely not get the same valuation from investors.
No way. The SaaS multiplier completely breaks down when you have to hire a therapist for every user.
And plus, comprehensive frameworks like Connecticut's raise floor compliance costs across the entire AI supply chain.
Right, because of the metadata requirements.
Yeah, giving a distinct valuation advantage to smaller models with narrower domains.
Exactly. It favors companies building very specific compliant tools over massive generalized chatbots.
So what does this all mean?
Well, it means the regulatory landscape is actually consolidating, not fragmenting.
Really? Because it feels fragmented.
It feels that way, but they're all moving toward that same architectural floor. The licensed clinician owns the decision.
I see. And the financial winners will be those who accurately read the legal calendar.
Building the tech stack to match the law rather than hoping the law catches up to the tech.
Right. That is a huge shift in Silicon Valley thinking. Okay, so we've covered a lot today.
We really have.
Let's do a quick recap. We started with OpenAI's new trusted contact feature, realizing it's a notification layer, not clinical care.
Right.
Then we waded through the labyrinth of strict clinician restrictions in Vermont, Colorado, and Hawaii.
The fact that Colorado banned emotion detection is still wild to me.
Honestly, same. And finally, we look at the practical playbook for founders and the valuation impacts for investors.
It's a completely new world for healthcare tech.
It really is. So I want to leave you, our listeners, with a new angle to ponder on your own.
Oh, here we go.
If AI systems eventually become unequivocally better, faster, and more accurate than the average human clinician at detecting emotional states and mapping out treatment plans.
Which is entirely possible, yeah.
Right. Will these new state laws written in the name of safety end up restricting patients' access to life-saving care?
That is the big question.
Will the laws eventually have to adapt to the machine, or will the machine always need a human chaperone? Something to think about.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep brushing your brain every day.